Open your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I've been wanting for quite some time now to preach a sermon on the love of God, but I kept putting it off because it's one of those things where, how do you begin? I mean, how do you begin to talk about the love of God, and how can you adequately describe the love of God in just one sermon? And so as I was thinking about how to talk about the love of God, I came to this passage that talks about knowing the love of God, which is surpassing knowledge. We can't fully understand the love of God. We can't fully comprehend it. It's too wide. It's too deep. It's too high. It's too long. But Paul prays that we would know it, that we would try to understand it. We're continuing our series this evening on understanding the multifaceted love of God, the love of God which has so many angles and so many aspects, like a diamond. It sparkles because of those angles, because of those many sides. This is the way the love of God is. It is not so easy to understand, but we must try to understand it. Last week we talked about the love of God being like a husband's love for his wife, and we talked about how that was an intimate love, a love that desires a close relationship with us. And we talked about how that meant that God has a jealous love for us. He wants us to be faithful to Him and Him alone as a husband, rightfully so, has a right to expect that from his wife and vice versa. Then we talked also about how God's love as a husband is a close, intimate love. It is a forgiving love. Even though a wife or a husband may wrong each other, they're willing to forgive one another, to maintain that close relationship with each other. And that's the way God loves us. Tonight I want us to think about God as our shepherd. And think about this image and what it tells us about God's love for us as His sheep. You know, the image of God as a shepherd is one of the most beautiful pictures in all of the Bible. It's a picture of compassion, of gentleness. It's a picture that we find all throughout Scripture, beginning with Genesis chapter 48. In Genesis chapter 48, we're not going to turn there and read it, but Jacob is blessing his sons. And he comes to Joseph, his son, and he talks about how God has been his shepherd all throughout his life. Jacob knew who was his guide. Jacob knew the one who had blessed him and who had led him to where he was as a blessed man. Then we find that image of God being a shepherd in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 7 and 17. Chapter 7, verse 17, talks about the Lamb, of course, that being Christ, the Lamb being our shepherd. All throughout Scripture, you find God being our shepherd. This is a beautiful picture for us. And if God's love as a husband is one of intimacy, then God's love as a shepherd is one of gentleness. It's one of compassionate care. If you open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11 describes God as being a shepherd for his people, here in this case, Israel. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 tells us, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." It's a beautiful picture of God, the God of might, the God of power, the God who simply by a word spoke the creation into existence, the God of power, But yet he's carrying his people in his arms like a shepherd would carry a lamb that was just born. That's a beautiful picture. It's a picture that sometimes boggles our minds, how a God so mighty, a God so transcendent, will carry his people with such gentleness. This describes God as a powerful God, but also a gentle God, a compassionate, loving, caring God. Sometimes when we think about shepherds, we get this picture of a small boy who's maybe not fully grown, doesn't have a beard yet. We get a picture of maybe a feminine man, a man who's not really that strong. But the role of a shepherd was not for the faint of heart. The role of a shepherd, the job of a shepherd, required someone with strength, required someone with a great deal of skill and physical courage. He had to defend his flock against any predators. But he also had to have some gentleness. He also had to have some compassion. And because from this, we learn that God's gentleness, God's love, is not a flimsy love. It's not a love that is weak. It's not a feminine love, as it were. It is a strong love. Yes, it's a gentle love. But there is strength behind that gentleness. And that's what gives God's gentleness some comfort. Because who wants to trust a gentle person, but a person that doesn't have any strength behind that gentleness? God is one that we can trust, who is gentle, who is loving, but has the strength to carry us. See, the image of God's gentleness and his strength go hand in hand. They don't contradict each other. They complement one another. God is a compassionate God, but he is a strong God who can give us comfort, who can lead us in the right way. Unfortunately, it's hard for us to relate to the image of a shepherd because we don't have shepherds today in our culture, at least not very commonly. The image of a shepherd was one that people in biblical times understood. They understood the power and the beauty and the compassionate image of this picture. But it's hard for us to understand. And so to help us understand the role of a shepherd, I just want to share with you a few things about the life of a shepherd. First of all, we got to understand something about sheep. If you've ever worked with sheep, I don't know if you have, I haven't. But from what I've read, sheep are not the brightest, most bright animals on God's green earth. They're some of the stupidest animals. They're prone to wander, they're prone to forget that there's safety in the flock, and they wander off on their own sometimes. You know, sheep lack the instinct to find food on their own. Sheep have to go be led from place to place because they lack the instinct that goats have to find the best food. They have to be led to water. They're utterly helpless. They're lost without a shepherd. If they get lost, they lack the instinct to find their way home like some other animals can. If they're lost in the wilderness, they don't know where they are. They don't know how to get home. They need someone to guide them. A shepherd's chief purpose then is to guide that sheep, or those sheep, to pasture them. Sheep have to drink water at least once a day. And so the role of a shepherd is to lead those sheep. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of traveling on foot. You wore a lot of sandals out. It's a lot of dust and a lot of work leading these sheep. Imagine it's probably wearing on your patience sometimes, trying to guide these sheep who are really dumb. But a shepherd is patient enough with them, and he guides them to the water and to the flock. Whenever the sheep are drinking, after they drink, then they rest. And the shepherd has time to sleep. Because he can't sleep at night, he's got to watch over his flock at night to keep them from predators. There's a lot of time that a shepherd spends awake, both in the day and at night. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of courage, because sometimes you got to defend yourself and your flock single-handedly against wolves, against predators that would come, snakes. Sometimes shepherds were alone leading their sheep. That's why it required courage. Shepherds sometimes carried a staff or sometimes along with their staff they would carry a club that they would carry at their belt that would defend themselves against any predators. Sometimes they would carry a sling and stones like David did. You remember David was pretty good shot with a sling. Some shepherds carried slings, and I read one story that talked about how some shepherds were so skilled that in order to guide their sheep, sometimes if they'd see a sheep wandering off from the flock, they would take a stone and fling it and drop the stone just in front of the nose of the wandering sheep to warn them. to come back to the flock. They were that skilled. Being a shepherd required a great deal of skill. And though sheep are really stupid, they do know their master's voice. They know who to follow. You can call out, you can try to imitate the call of a shepherd, but they're not going to follow you. They know to only follow their master. Shepherds have a distinct call, and the shepherds know how to call their sheep, and the sheep know their voice, and so they follow them. So what does this tell us about God's love? How is God's love for us like that of a shepherd? First of all, God's love is a guiding love. Again, we are like sheep. We are utterly helpless without God. Sometimes in the Bible, we read about how God or how people without God are described as sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew chapter 9, we read of this image of people just wandering and distressed and dispirited. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says, "Seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd." That describes us whenever we don't have God. We are distressed. We're dispirited. We're lost. We're hopeless. We have nowhere to turn. We have nowhere to guide. We have no one to guide us. We can't find food on our own. We are dispirited. We need a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on them because of that. Remember, Jesus called himself the good shepherd. He provided for the people what the people needed. And in Psalm 23, one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, Psalm 23 talks about God being our shepherd, the one who leads us. This is a passage that people for centuries and generations have turned to for comfort. Because the fact that God is our shepherd is a comforting thought. It is something that brings us a lot of reassurance whenever we're going through difficult times. Psalm 23, verse 1, beginning. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David wrote that psalm. Remember what David was. He was a shepherd. He knew the role of a shepherd. He understood that with God as his shepherd, that he had no want. He lacked nothing. He had an abundance of provision. He says that God leads him in green pastures. He leads him where he needs to go. Maybe not always where he wants to go, but the Lord leads him where he needs to go. We can find comfort in that. We can find comfort not necessarily in the provisions of God, but we find comfort in God himself, because we know that he himself is going to always provide for us. David found comfort in who God was and the fact that he was his shepherd. He leads us in what is right. In verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness." God's not going to lead us astray. If we follow his voice, if we follow his word, he's not going to lead us to some dangerous place that's just going to end up in making us fall away. He's going to lead us in paths of righteousness. They may be dangerous places. As it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because the Lord is with me, because the shepherd is there to protect me." He leads us in what is right, if we are willing to follow him. And whenever we do go to those dangerous places, his presence is reassuring to us. He comforts us because we know that we are with him. There's safety in the shepherd. There's safety in the fold. The reason sheep congregate together behind the shepherd is because they know that they're safe there. And we too can congregate behind the Lord where there is safety. Sometimes A shepherd would have to lead his sheep through some dangerous place, maybe through a ravine or a valley or some cliff or a crag in the rocks. But he wouldn't send the sheep on to go first. The shepherd himself would go first to make sure that it was safe. The Lord does that for us. He leads us. He doesn't send us on our way without anyone to guide us. He leads us, goes on before us to make sure it is safe for us. The Lord is good to us. Sometimes he has to correct us. David says, his rod and his staff comfort me. His correction sometimes is painful, but it is comforting to us because we know that whenever he does correct us, he's bringing us back to safety. He's bringing us back to where we know we're going to be led in righteousness. An illustration of this is Israel. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 tells the story of Israel's history. And verses 52 and 53 talks about God leading his people Israel like a flock. Verse 52, but he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies. The psalmist is talking about the Exodus there and how God led his people through the Red Sea. If you read the story of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14, I believe, read how God led his people to the Red Sea. He led them to a place where they were stopped. And whenever the people saw that the Egyptians were coming up behind them, and they saw that they had nowhere to go, either behind because there was the Egyptians or in front because there's the sea, they said, Lord, what are we going to do? We're afraid. But what did God do? He parted that sea so that they could walk on dry land. He led them to the Red Sea so that he could show them that he was going to lead them. God can take the most impossible of circumstances because he is a shepherd, and he could lead us to safely, even though we never dreamed it was possible. God can work through our lives to deliver us, to rescue us from the most evil of enemies because he is our shepherd. God leads us as a shepherd leads his flock. When you look at pictures of shepherds leading their flock, we just looked at a few of them. The shepherds were in front of the flock, weren't they? They weren't behind the flock. They weren't behind the flock whipping and yelling at the sheep to go forward. They were leading them. They were going on before them. That's what the Lord does with us. He doesn't command us from behind. He doesn't whip us into action. He leads us into action. He appeals to us with reassurance that we can trust him. John chapter 10, Jesus talks of himself as being the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, listen to what Jesus says. He says, when he puts forth all his own, speaking of this good shepherd, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. That terminology of knowing the voice is the terminology of trusting. The reason sheep follow the voice of the shepherd is because they trust the shepherd. The shepherd has trained them to know his voice. He's trained them to trust him. He has provided for them in the past, and they know that he will continue to provide for them. In the same way, the Lord leads us out of trust, not fear. That doesn't mean we don't fear him. Certainly we do fear him. We reverence him. We understand, as we talked about last week, he is a jealous God. He expects great things of us. But we follow him primarily not because we're afraid of him, but we follow him because we trust him, because he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He's not going to lead us astray. We know his voice, and therefore we follow him. And because of this, we have contentment. We've got satisfaction whenever we follow the Lord. Why would we want to follow anybody else? Why would we want to follow a man whenever we can follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and follow his word? God's love is a guiding love. But God's love as a shepherd is also a diligently watchful love. It's a love that constantly is watching out for us and constantly protecting us, like a shepherd watches out for his flock. Sheep are rather defenseless creatures. They don't have any teeth to bite with. They can't really run that fast. They're really quite defenseless. So they trust that their shepherd is going to be there to defend them. And because sheep are rather weak creatures, rather defenseless, they're easy to abuse. Sometimes in old times, the owner of the sheep would be the actual shepherd. He would care for them. But other times, the owner of the sheep would hire someone to be the shepherd for them. And sometimes those people who were hired to be sheep or shepherds wouldn't really take that great care of the shepherds because they don't really care. They're not their sheep. They don't own them. When we open up our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, listen to what God says about his flock. Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying against the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of the people, perhaps the priests and the kings. And he's condemning them for the fact that they have not led the people. They've not shepherded they've not fed the flock. They've only fed themselves. They haven't proven themselves to be good shepherds. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, look at verse 11 and listen to what God says. God says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them back out from all the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on the good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them with judgment." God is emphasizing, I am the shepherd. God doesn't hire any shepherds to do his work for him. He doesn't send anybody else out. He does the work. He doesn't outsource anybody to be our shepherds like we would, you know, some jobs outsourced to other countries for cheap labor. God doesn't want any cheap labor for shepherds. He does the work himself. We can take comfort from that. God is our shepherd. And in John chapter 10, again, Jesus talks about himself being the good shepherd in contrast to the people who are leading God's people in his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who weren't really caring for God's people. John chapter 10, this time in verses 11 through 15. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Because Jesus is the owner of the sheep, he's got a vested interest in our well-being. He's got a vested interest into making sure that we are well taken care of, even to the point of him laying down his own life. Verse 3 tells us that he lays down his own life because he knows us each by name. The Lord knows each one of us as his sheep by name. That's why David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yes, he's the shepherd of Israel. Yes, he's the shepherd of all his people. But he is my shepherd. There's a personal connection that is between us and our shepherd. Whenever we recognize that it is the Lord who is leading us, he knows each of us by name. And because of this, God's care for us never sleeps. Like a shepherd, he doesn't sleep at night. His care for us never sleeps. Yes, we face a daunting enemy. The Lord tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, that there's a roaring lion seeking to devour us. But also in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at what is described of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. The same book that tells us that we have a roaring lion seeking to devour us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 25 tells us, "For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." God is our overseer. God is our guardian. He protects us. And therefore, we really don't have to fear our enemy as long as we're following the Lord. As long as we're following our shepherd, He's got the power. He's got the strength. Yes, He's gentle, but He has the power and the strength to defend us against the enemy. So let us trust Him. Let us follow Him. We can feel safe. We can feel secure in the Lord who is our shepherd. And finally this evening, God as our shepherd patiently loves us with a seeking love. Again, sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to forget where safety is. What a fitting image to describe us. As His people, we are sheep that so often wander away from the fold of God. Probably for no other reason than we just forget that with the Lord there is safety. And we somehow deceive ourselves into thinking that we can find greener pastures elsewhere, that we can find water for ourselves, but sheep can't find water for themselves. They must trust in their shepherd to do that for them. Isaiah chapter 53 describes God's people as sheep who have wandered away. Isaiah chapter 53, of course, this is the chapter that describes the Messiah who's to come, and He would lay down His life for His people. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him." We wander away from the fold. So often we do that. But what does God do whenever we do wander away? Does He give up on us? Does He forget us? Luke chapter 15 tells us that God seeks us, like a shepherd seeks his flock. Luke chapter 15, Jesus is telling a parable here. Verse 3, "And He told them a parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost even one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." The power of this parable sometimes is lost on us because, again, we can't relate as well as they did to the image of a shepherd. But perhaps another illustration would help us. This isn't a perfect illustration, but I do think it's a helpful illustration. Have you ever lost a pet, run away from you? Perhaps a dog or maybe even a cat? Maybe they've been staying inside and they want to go outside, and they run outside and run down the street and you never see them again? Or have you ever searched for that pet? My family has a cat, and I don't know why, but my brother loves this cat very dearly, and I don't know why, because it's the meanest cat you've ever seen. But sometimes when I was growing up, we leave the house to go on a trip, and of course we leave food for the cat and someone to care for the cat and check up on him. And this was a cat that stayed outdoors, by the way. And we'd be gone for a week or so, and we'd come back, and that cat would get very lonely, and he would leave the house. He would leave the premises. And my brother, the first thing that he would do whenever we'd come back from our trip was he'd go look for the cat, because he loves that cat dearly. Sometimes he would call out for him. And I remember on a couple of occasions, it took us hours to find that cat. But he diligently searched for that cat because he loved that cat. Have you ever done that? Perhaps you put a reward out to find your pet. Again, it's not a perfect illustration, but it helps us understand the love that we have for those that we love. Helps us understand the love that God has for us. God loves us. Whenever we wander away from Him, He seeks us actively. This parable tells us three things about God's love for us. First of all, He values each one of us individually. The shepherd in Jesus' parable has 100 sheep. He only loses one of them, but he leaves the 99 in the open pasture, perhaps even exposing them, risking them to danger. And he goes after the one sheep. He doesn't say, well, I've got 99 more. What does one more lost mean? It doesn't matter that one is lost. No, he leaves the 99 and he goes to look for the one. Whenever we leave the fold of God, God seeks us. He knows each one of us individually. It also tells us that God seeks us until he finds us. He doesn't give up. God's love is a relentless love. It is a persistent love. Sometimes whenever a shepherd will look for that one lost sheep, he might have to go through weeds, he might have to go through a swamp, he might have to go through mountains. But the shepherd does not give up. He looks until he finds the sheep. And whenever he does find the sheep, he doesn't complain. He doesn't rebuke the sheep, but he rejoices that he has found the sheep. He lays it on his shoulder, and he carries it home. That's the way God loves us. God is willing to take us back. If we're willing to follow him, if we're willing to heed his call, he is willing to take us back, and he will rejoice. Jesus says the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who comes to repentance. And later on in Luke chapter 15, he tells the parable of the father, the prodigal son who left his father. Whenever he sees the son coming to him, after he's fed the swine, he's wished that he could eat what the swine was eating. Whenever the father sees him coming from a distance, he goes to run to his son with arms wide open. The Lord loves us like a shepherd goes and seeks after his sheep. This is comforting to each one of us. So as we close tonight, Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 says this: Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is a conclusion for us this evening. If God loves us as he loves his sheep, as a shepherd loves his sheep, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to follow him and him alone, to heed his call, to follow his voice and follow no one else's voice. Why would we want to follow anybody else? Whenever it is the Lord who is our shepherd, whenever it is the Lord who leads us in paths of righteousness. To say that we are God's sheep is more than just a poetic way of saying we belong to God. To say that we are his sheep is to say that we are submitting ourselves to his guidance. To say that we are willing to be corrected. To say that we are willing to follow his lead. Willing to follow his guidance. Willing to recognize that we need him and that we can't help ourselves. That's what it means whenever we say that we are the sheep of his hand. Well, we encourage anyone tonight who is not a Christian to become part of the flock of God. As we've talked about tonight, God loves all creation. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, but the love of God for his sheep is something that is special. It is something that is unique for his people, just like his love as a husband is something that is unique. God loves each one of us. If you're not a Christian tonight, we encourage you to become a Christian, to follow the lead of the Master. Repent of your sins. Be baptized to wash away those sins. And you'll be given a new life after you come up out of the waters of baptism. If you're an erring Christian and perhaps you need the prayers of this congregation, if you have been wandering on the hills, wandering in the wilderness, come back to the fold. The Lord will receive you if you come back to him and follow his voice. If you'd like to do that tonight, why don't you come while we stand and sing?